This is Across the Streams Media Podcast.
Lots of people get lost in Saltburn.
That's right. We watched Saltburn this week on The Movie Gap, the podcast that has you scream. Welcome to The Movie Gap. I am your host, Chase Austin. And as always, the bathtub come drinking fool, my co-host, Bryce Perkins. Go fuck a grave.
All right. Will do. Will do. Good to be here. Thank you. Thanks, Chaz. What's new, mate?
Well, I'll tell you what. With an intro like that, I gotta tell you, guess what's happening Memorial Day weekend.
What's that?
We're going to be back at Comic Palooza.
Oh, let's go.
And I have just gotten word. This is news to you. Our good friend, fan favorite guest, will be joining us all the way from Hawaii. Ho, Gator and Yannick. It's AP Stark.
Let's go.
Yeah, he's not here today, but
let's go. All right, that's kind of a long horn. I'm trying to get like a, you know, like a burr, burr,
burr, burr. Fuck, I should have lied. No. Fuck.
Let's go. Let's go.
All right, stop. All right.
Oh, that of course was the Wilhelm scream. That's our that should be our equivalent of the air horn.
God, I was watching something that used the Wilhelm scream the other day.
Yeah, WrestleMania, like, last night.
No.
They throw it in every single one.
It was I was watching Last Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs, which is phenomenal. It's on Shudder. You should watch it. For Easter they showed Rotten Tale, which is an adaptation of this graphic novel about a guy who gets bitten by this like radioactive rabbit that's been like they've been doing experiments on.
Okay.
And he starts to turn into a giant like mutant rabbit, and he goes and kills everybody that ever like wronged him.
Okay.
Yeah. But they use the Wilhelm. They like it's very obvious the use of the Wilhelm scream.
Yeah. A lot.
Yeah. There's like one point where a guy gets like he's like it's a close up on his face because he gets knocked down by him, and he gets pulled off. And as he's being pulled off, you hear that scream. It's very cheaply made. The effects are pretty awesome, but the movie itself is a little all over the place. And the things that they think are funny are not.
No.
Yeah, but it is a pretty interesting watch if you watch it with Joe Bob.
Okay.
The best way to watch a lot of those movies.
I can't wait to never do that ever.
Yeah, no, I know.
My entire life. I never will.
But
you know why? Anyway, because
let's get back to Comic Palooza though.
Oh yeah, right. Because I will be spending all of my time preparing for Comic Palooza this year.
Yeah, we have not released the name of the movie that we will be covering, but it does have to do
With
one of the guests.
Okay, well, can we drop who the guests are going to be?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
You have to go to at Houston Comic Palooza on Instagram.
Okay.
And check out their list of guests.
And then you guys can surmise. Because we love doing Comic Palooza because we get all the gappers, all you gappers out there. You come in droves, okay? Yeah. You show up for us.
We don't.
It's a fun time. You guys hear it when we post the live episodes.
Oh, yeah. We don't do a lot of live episodes.
Right.
Basically, only Comic Palooza.
Right.
And with our boys over at Space City Geek Fest.
Right, right.
But yeah, so it's a guaranteed good time. But Comic Palooza is always a lot of fun, a lot of good stuff to do. But that's Memorial Day weekend. Get your tickets.
I think they said online. I think they've told us the people that run Comic Palooza have told us over half of all ticket sales for the past three times we've done it have been from you gappers out there.
Yeah, well,
just coming to see us live. So
yeah, we are pretty.
We appreciate
big.
That, and
we bring in that that Denmark.
That's right.
Denmark crowd.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All the Danish that come to Comic Palooza are because of us.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Big Danish.
Finland, too, actually. It's all of that area. What do you call that? The Scandinavians?
We got BDE.
Big Danish.
Big Danish energy. Yeah. So, yeah.
Hamlet who?
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, let's make it happen. Go to comicpalooza.com and buy your tickets and come say hi. We can't wait.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
And go to the website and try to take a guess on what movie we might be doing based on who the speakers are gonna be.
For sure.
So, but that'll be fun to have Stark come down too.
Yeah. No, I'm really excited about that. We haven't seen Stark in person in quite a while.
Same. So.
I mean, has it been since his wedding? I think it was the last time I saw him.
Yeah,
in person. I don't remember.
Maybe I wasn't even there.
Yeah, but anyway, so yeah, so that's gonna be really cool.
Yeah,
a lot of fun, and we hope to see you there. So yeah. do it. Now, let's get right into it, my brother.
Oh, you want to get right into it?
Let's get right into it.
Okay.
We're on a tight ship.
I was thinking we would do about 30 minutes of preamble, go there.
We got WrestleMania to
watch. Then talk
tonight.
About the movie for about five minutes. And then
that might be all you need.
Okay. Yeah, maybe.
Do I love this movie? I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
Do I hate this movie? I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
Do I have a lot of notes that would make this movie really, really good? I do.
Okay, great. Well, then we can't wait to get into that.
All right. Bryce.
Got a terrific penis.
The finale of Curb is on tonight, and I'm gonna have to miss
it. Oh shit! Nice.
I'm gonna have to miss it
because WrestleMania.
So
since when did WrestleMania become a 2-day event?
That would have been, I believe, the pandemic was when they did that because they were trying to make up for it. And then, I mean, basically, it was when they started the WWE Network.
Yeah.
They kind of were doing that plus pay-per-views, and then eventually they just stopped doing pay-per-views.
Okay, so it is just for free on that.
It's not, yeah, well, yeah, you have to pay for Peacock, yeah. But yeah, they got moved to, or they made a deal with Peacock, so now it's on Peacock. You don't have to have a separate WWE Network account. It's all there on Peacock, so you can watch it. So they're not pay-per-view events anymore. They're called premium live events.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it's two nights, and it's, mainly because it's, they have so many things to do.
Yeah.
They have 15 matches or something. So WrestleMania was getting where it started at 3 in the afternoon and at 11 p.m.
Yeah, I was watching WrestleMania 7 yesterday. I was telling you this before we went on. And
yeah.
That's because that was the start of the streak, Undertaker's famous streak.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that son of a bitch is 3.5 hours long.
Yeah.
That's insane. That was in 1990. Well,
they're still 4 hours long, but it's 2 days of 4 hours.
2 days of 4 hours, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, now they have the 2 days of it.
I can't believe we don't have any Hulk Hogan or Macho Man drops.
Well, we haven't done it.
Get on it,
Speaking
man.
Of, Hulk Hogan and Macho Man always watch over us.
No, I see Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, Ultimate Warrior.
And Hulk Hogan, Hulk Hogan. Ultimate Warrior is fucking Macho Man's fucking arch nemesis.
Yeah.
So get him out of here, because I'm Macho Man all day,
baby. I do want to get...
R.I.P. Randy Savage.
That is the one. I want a Macho Man...
I got to, man.
Wrestling buddy. But those two wrestling buddies, those are the actual ones that I've had since I was a kid.
Unbalance, off balance, doesn't matter.
In fact, when our friend from Space City and the Comic Cave guys came, he tried to buy those off of me.
No, did he?
Yeah.
That's funny.
He's like, I'll give you $100 each. And I was like, that's market value, but I'm gonna
that
keep
is
them.
Funny.
I've had them for 35 years.
Right. Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, don't sell.
No.
You hang on to those.
I keep those.
I'll tell you what I was thinking when it, so the WrestleMania that I watched.
You see Triple H over there and Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Right next to Sabretooth, because they're the same size.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's awesome. Yeah, Triple H, I never really was that. I was kind of out of it. I was watching WCW at the time when Triple H was big, So I wasn't really, but I love me some Stone Cold, though. You know, I mean, come on, you know.
Well, anyway, if Triple H is your favorite wrestler, you are a child.
You're an accountant. Like,
grow up.
Yeah.
Grow up.
Yeah.
I mean, I respect the guy, and like, he's doing a lot of good things now that he's like in charge.
Sure, yeah.
Of creative and everything.
But he's got to be WWE, one of the most boring champions in the history of wrestling, dude.
He like, you know, I mean, he did reinvent the thing, but it's just like, it's for sixth graders to like tell their teacher to suck it. Like, that's what the DX was.
Well, that was DX, yeah.
And he didn't even come up with that. And all it was a ripoff of NWO.
Yeah, right.
Like, it was just a response to that.
Yeah. Man, fucking A, dude. NWO, Wolfpack.
Now, I will say,
these kids will never know what that shit was like.
They botched everything.
I know, they fucked it.
They built up so well, and they had it all going for them.
And then it just got too ridiculous.
And then they just, like, fucked everything up.
It brought WCW down.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah, that, and they were paying them way more than it was. But they were beating WWE for a while.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then,
well, because Hogan was there still. Yeah, you know, they had Hulk Hogan, they had Macho Man.
Well,
they had,
and that was another problem, that Hulk Hogan had full creative control of his contract.
Yeah.
Which then it was, so like, that went off the rails. Don't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, enough wrestling talk.
Sure, sure.
The cream will rise to the top. Yeah.
God, Macho Man.
Oh, yeah. On balance, off balance.
Ooh, Rowdy Roddy matter. Piper, that was another guy that was just
king of the mic. Oh, forget about it, dude.
King of the mic.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Okay. Enough wrestling.
Yeah.
Let's get into this.
What
were you trying to get me to do here? Talk about a fucking movie? Is that what this podcast is about?
I don't think so. It's the 90s. You picked it up. You have 1 minute to tell me what's on the back of the box in the Blockbuster store. Go.
This movie is set in the near future, 2006, because it's the 90s, remember?
There we go.
And we were reading up the back of the box in the 90s. And so, in the future at Oxford, a kid goes there, and it's awkward for him, and he doesn't really have any friends. And he sees this one real popular guy, and it's like, kind of like, is he gay or not? Like, or is, like, not the popular guy, but is the main character gay? We don't know, but he kind of has a crush on him. Anyway, he just decides that he's willing to do, I mean, he just wants to get close to him, you know? And then he comes and he's like all lowly and shy and awkward. And lo and behold, the popular guy befriends him and then takes him under his wing, lets him go stay in his estate at Saltburn, hence the name of the movie. And then the kid starts assimilating to his new surroundings and starts learning the ways of the rich.
And time.
I mean, that's fine. Because from there,
you're
the rest is spoilers.
You're teasing it. Yeah.
Yeah, the rest is spoilers.
There will be a lot of spoilers, as per usual, on this, because we are talking about the movie.
Right.
So if you haven't seen it, I really suggest that you do. I think this is highly worth it.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah. I mean, this movie's been out for long enough anyway, but like, who's going to listen to a movie, a podcast about a movie, and then they're like, well, I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to
spoil it. Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Okay, sorry.
That was a good sound.
That was a good sound. It was loud.
It was clean.
It was clean.
It was clean.
It was like stereo.
It was like the desert.
It was stereo. Hey, listen to this in your headphones. Anyway, yeah, what were you saying about it? You were actually talking about the movie. You're trying to stay on track, which I applaud you for, Chase. Yeah. You're doing a great job here.
I do think that it's a movie worth watching. I think that there are some issues with it, and we will talk about them.
Okay.
My personal ones. But other than that,
let's just go ahead and get into the issues.
Honestly, I'm surprised it did not get, it didn't get like any Oscar noms at all.
That was surprising.
I don't really know why.
That was surprising.
I
don't know. Maybe is it because he drank bathtub cum?
Yeah. Well, and we could get into some of that stuff. So, but first of all, what did you know about this movie going into it? Because you actually did see it on my behalf. I told you to check it out.
Well, you and basically everyone I was talking to, really. Ed was one of the first ones to get on it. He saw it in theaters.
Yeah.
Before we had ever even heard of it, or I had even heard of it anyway. And then you, next thing I know, you watch it and you're like, okay, this is great. You got to watch this. So we watched the Oscars and noticed that it was missing from the categories, as we mentioned there. And I was like, okay, well, I got to check this out. And so here we are.
The other one that you need to watch, and Poor I would things. Love to do an episode on it. No.
Oh.
Is Iron Claw. That's one that got totally snubbed, and it is fucking phenomenal.
Oh, that's the wrestling one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You definitely it's phenomenal? See, oh, it's phenomenal.
Okay. Yeah. If you say so.
It's so good.
And I'll check it out.
Watch it. And when you're like, this isn't a true story, like there's no way that this is true, on Hulu, you could watch the Dark Side of the Ring, and there's an episode on the Von Erichs.
Yeah.
Watch it. It's even more wild.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's, okay. It's all, yeah. So I would, right. I'm going to say, watch both. And okay. Then we'll do an episode on it.
Okay. Yeah.
And
good.
I believe it's out. I don't know if it's like on a streamer yet, but I do know that it's like on,
I think it's on Prime.
Yeah. I don't know if you've
seen it advertised somewhere, but
I do know it's digitally available. I know it's on Blu-ray and everything like that too, but once it's somewhere you can get it, we need to do an episode on it, because it's fucking so good.
Sounds good to me. I'm in.
Yeah.
Zac Efron does good.
I mean, unbelievable.
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 Really?
Yeah. I you know,
okay.
I've never like hated him.
Sure.
But, you know, I was always like, ugh, he's one of those, like,
yeah, right,
Disney musical, whatever. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Right? And then every time I see him and stuff, I'm like, God, he's actually really fucking good. Like, okay. He was even good in that bad Firestarter remake.
Firestarter. What is that? The only thing I know about Stephen Firestarter King. Is The Prodigy. Oh.
Nope. It's a Stephen King book. The original one was, it's about a girl who has telekinetic powers that she could start fires. The original one was Drew Barrymore when she was a little kid.
Okay.
And this is a remake of that.
Psychosomatic Attic Insane. That's Firestarter by Prodigy.
Prodigy, yeah.
Psychosomatic Attic Insane.
Smack My Bitch Up.
They did do Smack My Bitch Up too. I think it's on the same album, maybe? No, probably. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
That's improv, bitch.
That's improv, bitch. You can use it. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't fit.
Nope.
All right. Okay, I'll check that out then. And good for Zac Efron. I never had any really real beef with him either, yeah, to be honest.
He's just like an easy...
I saw him in, Bad Grandpa, right? He was in that with Robert De Niro. Wasn't he the...
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that.
Wasn't he the guy, the kid in it?
But I know anyway. He was in like, the Neighbors movies.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. The Neighborhood or whatever.
Neighbors with Seth and Rogen. Neighbors 2 or whatever. Yeah, with Seth Rogen.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of that.
Emily Blunt, or was that... Yeah, I think it was Emily Blunt.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of it.
He's really good. But he's just like so good in this.
Okay.
And everybody.
And Jeremy Allen White, right?
Yeah.
Jeremy Allen White's in it.
Yes. From the Bear. Yeah, he's in it. He's really good.
Who's the other guy?
There's a couple of people in it that haven't been in much, and like they're both like the other three brothers are so good, and then the dad is phenomenal. Mara Tierney from News Radio and ER.
Is this a woman or a man you're talking about?
She was the main girl on News Radio.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
And then she was in the last film of Gene Hackman, Welcome to Mooseport, with Ray Romano.
Okay. Okay.
Wasn't good in that, but sure. She's really good in this.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's shot so well. It's acted so well. It's written well. It's just... It's an incredible story. It's Texas. It's Texas wrestling.
Oh, okay.
It's really, really good.
Okay.
So,
well, you heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, it's like an old school throwback to like what biopics used to be again in certain ways, you know. It is like sort of a whole life sort of thing. It's not just like that little, not that that's bad, but it's just like a slice of their life.
Sure.
But,
I don't mind a slice of life movie. Either,
no, you know? Yeah, but it tells
the whole story.
Really, yeah, it's really good and really well paced. It's phenomenal.
Okay,
but we're talking about Saltburn.
Yes.
So, what did you know other than people were telling you it was good when you went in?
I knew that Barry Keoghan shows his dick in it. That's people seem to talk about that a lot.
Uh-huh.
Although the way people talked about it, I thought it was going to be way more than it actually was.
Yeah,
people really were talking about like you're seeing it all the time, but it was really just that last scene, I guess. Yeah. But so I knew that, and then of course I knew Barry Keoghan was in it. He co-starred with his penis, and then I knew that Jacob B. Elordi.
Elordi.
I knew he was in it. And that's pretty much it. And I knew that he drinks the bath water.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty much it, okay?
Which is part of the thing that I think is a detriment to this, is like that's what people will focus on when it's weird like that.
Okay, let's get into that.
Yeah, but let's start with just your notes.
You think I took fucking notes when I was watching this thing? You gotta be fucking crazy, Chase. What is this? Hey, do you know me? You think I'm taking notes? I got nipples, Chase. Anyway, no, I don't have any notes.
Oh, okay. Well,
I don't have any physical notes, I should say.
All right. Well, let's just.
But I will say. Your thoughts,
like look, start. Let's, look, let's okay, try to we'll go look, linear.
Look. Okay. Well. Look. I liked that. I didn't know that it was going to have that aspect ratio of the box. It was like boxed in aspect ratio. Did you notice that? It wasn't widescreen, dude. It was boxed in.
So it was the one.
It's like the old school, like, yeah, tube television.
Yeah, the 137, ratio. Yeah.
Yeah, which at first I didn't notice, but I was like, wait, what the fuck is going on?
The Academy ratio, the original films were done.
Oh, right. Yeah. And yeah, I guess she did it. Who's the director again? What's her name? I know it's a girl, which I know that.
Yeah, she wrote and directed this. Her name is Emerald Fennell.
That's it. And she's done some other notable or famous movies, right? Recently? Not recently, but you know what I mean.
She did that Promising Young Woman.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah. Never mind.
But, which was equally as, like, lauded and also sort of hated in the same way.
Okay.
Kind of for the same reasons, I think. She also wrote on Killing Eve.
No, never heard of it.
Which was, the first season was amazing, and then the next two seasons got progressively like, okay, I'm done.
What's that on?
It was on, it's a BBC show, but they showed it on AMC.
Okay.
It's Sandra Oh and, what is her name? It is, Jodie Comer.
Which you might as well not said any name at all, because I don't know who the fuck that is, man.
If you don't know Cody, Killing Eve, you don't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, she wrote on that, she directed, Saltburn and Promising Young Woman. So those are her two directorial movies.
Well, apparently she did it. Ed was telling me, British Ed, movie at fan favorite, was telling me that she did it on some film stock or whatever instead. It was like shot on film, and that's why the aspect ratio is
such. Like with the different camera that shoots in that. With that film.
So I liked it too, though, because it was set in about 2006, I was estimating.
Yeah, it says like welcome class of 2006.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did that mean graduating class?
I know. I had to look it up.
You know what I mean? Or was it 03?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I looked it up. It was that they were welcoming the high school class of 2006. So it was 2006. It was 2006.
Okay.
Because immediately when I saw that, I turned to my wife. I was like, wait, does that mean that it's in 2006?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out.
2002.
Right.
Like, what does college do? Yeah.
Either way, it was. It's neat to have movies set in the back in time, and that time being when I graduated high school.
Like 4 years ago. 2006 was not that long ago.
4 years? Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right there, buddy. But yeah, it was kind of nostalgic for the time period for me, because you know that was when we both graduated high school.
Yeah.
And and so the aspect ratio, I think, only helped the feel of that, because we did still have that, like if you watch Scrubs and stuff, and
those weren't,
all of that is
like, this being shot aspect on ratio film, yeah,
you know,
it is that.
Oh no, I know, I understand why the difference, and I don't think that she did that on purpose because of that, but it did help it, yeah. In my opinion. In terms of overall feel, but it was also kind of neat to be like, oh yeah, look at his hair, that, you know, like people's hair was so 2006, and just kind of being like, wow, you know, like, you know, at that time when you're living it, you don't think that that what you're living is ever going to look old or seem from a time.
Yeah, I know.
And and yet here we are watching movies that are now being like, okay, well, we got to make this look like 2006. And so, like, yeah, their hair and clothes were all so perfect for that time period. It did a really good job of making it feel like that. So that was cool. But I understand that that's also a very specific note for me as far as why I liked it, because I
well, yeah,
because
you come from that. It hit that nostalgia button.
So I know that doesn't really work for everybody, but I like that. I like that part of it.
It is a little different because it is also British.
So, I was.
Oh, I forgot you graduated high school in Britain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why you think I was talking? Why you think I got such a great natural British accent, man? Yeah, that's so good. You think I started anyway? No, I even did a summer at Saltburn. I spent a summer over there at the manor, and
okay,
got lost in the maze and poisoned a few drinks. And no, just kidding.
Spoiler.
Spoiler. Yeah. But So I like that part of it. I think. What else is that? Barry Keoghan, the kid's just a really good actor.
Yeah. So the story is sort of a, did you feel like it was a mystery or like what?
So that was the thing, dude. I had no idea that there was going to be like plot twists.
See, I didn't know anything about it.
I didn't realize it was going to end up being a murder mystery. I thought it was just going to end. I thought it was just going to be like a tragedy.
Yeah, I didn't know anything going in, but about the time he starts like leering at Jacob Elordi in like the bathtub, and then before he like and then he goes and drinks stuff. I was like. Uh-huh. Right, this is like a weird thing, but it starts out with him saying like, "I loved him." So I was like, "Okay, so he's dead."
Yeah,
like Jacob Elordi is dead.
Right, right. And you knew he was going
to
be.
Like, who is he talking to? Is he talking to us, or is he talking to someone else?
See,
and I figured he was talking to like the cops or whatever.
Same thing. They did that very good.
This is definitely
they did that very well.
This is definitely a twist. And then I started to realize when he was like. banging the sister and like obviously wanting the douchey friend that was stealing stuff to
skedaddle
to get out because that guy was like not liking him either
Farley.
I was like he's doing this on purpose, this is bigger than just trying to get with this guy.
See, I didn't really pick up on that until the twist really until the actual reveal, because it did a really good job in my opinion of just so when I went into it I was just thinking that it was going to be a tragedy, so I wasn't really expecting to have like Fincher-esque reveals at the end, so what I mean, when it starts doing that. You didn't like that.
I was wondering bullshit. About that. I thought that
I liked
that
it.
Is one of the reasons
I liked it.
That is one of the reasons this was not nominated for an Oscar. It was too
cheapened it a little bit.
It was too cheap. All we needed to do is him to tell us. We don't need to go back and see these alternate things.
Yeah.
Right?
How'd you like my use of Fincher-esque, right?
Yeah,
it was pretty spot on, right?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. It does the Fight Club thing.
It did the Gone Girl thing.
Even in Gone Girl, it doesn't go to as much of like almost alternate takes of showing us how he did it.
Right.
You know, I mean, when he vomited... after giving the guy the drink, I was like, oh, well, that wine's poison.
Yeah.
Like, I knew it, right?
See, so, I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, I was like, this is all... like
I wasn't even thinking about it.
Yeah, now, at that point, I didn't know he was trying to steal Saltburn until he stayed.
Dude, I know,
and
then I was like,
oh, this is not about the boy.
And then
this is about everything else.
Well, and after... I mean, dude, so... I mean, the first big reveal was him lying.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah. Well, especially once you see that, you're like, "Oh, this is
yeah."
All,
and then you're like, this is "Oh, this guy
bigger,
is this
way
kid
bigger
is
than
fucked.
Anything." Yeah,
but then I was
he's
even
a sociopath.
Thinking. But then I was even thinking,
very well. You feel like it's gonna be like Talented Mr. Ripley or something.
You know, I've never seen that fucking movie, and so people keep comparing it to.
Yeah, we have to do that, but it's this,
do we have
know,
to,
single
is it
white,
good?
Single, oh yeah. But oh, it's, sure, you know, it's single white female. It's all the same. You know, somebody that's from the other side or that doesn't have it. Starts to follow somebody around until they can take their life, basically.
Oh, okay.
To like become them. Sort of.
Oh, I
that's
see.
That's the whole thing. It's
is
a
Matt
it's
Damon.
It's a genre thing, but yeah, Matt Damon is it's a really good. Yeah.
Will Smith? No, that's Bagger Vance.
No, Matt Damon did not single white female Will Smith. That would have been problematic. That's you're thinking of Soul Man with C. Thomas Howell.
Oh man. yeah, because he's trying to take his life.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. So like pose as him.
Just like, people are just like, I don't remember you not being black.
Oh man, that was funny. But didn't they do a movie together though?
It was Legend of Bagger Vance. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Which was, you know, kind of around the same time. It was like in the
late 90s. Yeah, I think I have a memory of them. Looking very similar.
Yeah,
color palette wise.
They were both after 99. I know that because when I worked at Projection at the Katy Mills Mall, which opened in 99, they had a bunch of old banners up in Projection that we just took.
Uh-huh.
And one of them was the talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah.
And we put it on the ground of my apartment in San Marcos when we would use the hookah, because the hookah would fall off, like the coal would fall off of the hookah, and we didn't want it to burn the carpet, so we'd have an extra 3 seconds to like get it off of the vinyl banner before it would burn the carpet. Oh my god. So yeah, we burned holes in that talented Mr. Ripley.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice. Well, let's cover it, and I'll burn holes in it with my scathing critique. All right, how about that? We can burn holes in it critique wise later. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So anyway, what? How did we get onto that?
You start to realize he's stealing.
Yeah,
more than
I was kind of thinking, well, he just has like loneliness issues or something.
Yeah,
or there's something like really psychologically wrong or just going on there that isn't on the up and up, if you will. I did not expect it to turn into I'm gonna take this place over. And then when he does stay there, oh man, that scene with them sitting there trying to eat and like being so British, being like, you know, just don't even talk about it, like what literally just happened, let's just eat our pie as if nothing happened.
The stiff upper lip of
British of English culture. Yeah. and them acting it. What was that line he said? He's like, we don't need your fucking American feelings or whatever or something like that. That was just fucking hilarious and so painful to sit through, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, but so awkward. But it made it even more awkward because fucking Oliver, that's Barry Keoghan's character, is sitting there acting the most okay with it.
Yeah, just like totally like doing what the father wants.
Yeah. Oh man.
And like just
and then like from there, yeah, and then from there it's like, oh, okay. I mean, the dude legit, I mean, does he feel remorse?
See, he's got this.
Because then he goes and fucks the grave.
Yeah. So,
that was an interesting scene. That was well done.
And again, I don't know, like, that's my problem.
But you think that kept it out of the Oscar running?
I don't know if it's that. I think
too over the top.
I think it keeps it out of being the movie that it should. Okay. Basically, this movie should be like a Ruth's Chris, like a fancy steakhouse.
Okay.
Right? It thinks it's a Michelin star.
Okay.
You know, like a fancy steakhouse, you're going to get good food. It's going to be a great store. Like, you know, it's like, it's very well done and you're not going to get something better. Right? But it thinks it's too pretentious because it adds all these things to it where it's like, are you doing that because of the shock value or is it good to the story? And I don't think it helped the story. I think it was there for shock value.
Yeah.
And also for like this thing of like, oh no, but it's artistic and there is this other side to it. There's no other side to it. He's a sociopath who wants to have all this stuff. Why is he fucking the grave? Why is he drinking the bath cum?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't.
Yeah,
it's just there to be like, oh, look at what we did.
Yeah. So what you're saying is salt burn, more like salt grass, right? Steakhouse. Well, no, like
I'm thinking like fancy, like
you're thinking.
I'm not talking.
It thinks it's Ruth's Chris. Turns out it's a salt grass.
The other way around.
Oh,
like it's not like a. You know, what's that place that you like that's in the post?
Well, you're saying that it thinks it's a saltgrass, but a Ruth's Chris?
I'm saying it's the way Michelin.
Yeah.
Michelin style.
It thinks
high class.
Ruth's Chris.
No, I'm saying steakhouse, fine steakhouse is one thing.
Yeah.
But a fine steakhouse is not a Michelin star restaurant. It's not fancy French chef.
Hey, some steakhouses.
No, get that's what I'm saying. They're delicious and they're amazing and they're very expensive and you're getting what you're getting.
It thinks it's that. But it's not. But it turns out it's a salt.
It is that. It is that. But it thinks that it's like some pretentious French restaurant.
I see. Okay. So you're saying it thinks it's
like some big, like five star Michelin restaurant. So
what you're saying is salt burn, more like salt grass.
No.
That's what you're saying.
I'm saying salt grass sucks compared to like a real steakhouse.
No, what you're saying is
you're not listening. You are not listening to what I'm saying.
Damn it! Where's the? Oh fuck it! I was gonna play the damn fucking sound of the audience laughing. Oh, there it is. Saltburn, more like salt grass. You know, it's like that.
That's improv.
I'm doing great today. I'm doing fucking fantastic. I'm on fire today, dude. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's
up its own.
I think those are valid. I think those are valid.
But like, if you honestly give me the cut of this movie, I could fix it. Uh-huh. I could take 20 minutes out of this movie, and it would be amazing.
Because of all the films you've edited before, right? Yeah. So
I'm very good at it.
No. Yeah, I get it. I mean, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it wants you to think it's art, and it's not. It's really not an art piece.
That's the problem with all of it, right? I mean,
it's still art. Everything is art, but it's just so pretentious and for no reason.
Does it necessarily transcend?
And that's why nobody talks about anything but the bath scene or the grave fucking. And it's like, but there's so much more to this.
But then there were great parts in it, though. When they are eating the dinner after Felix dies, spoilers, after they find Felix dead, and they draw the curtains, and he's having trouble drawing the curtains, and that's weird, and that's such a great little choice. And then they finally do draw it, and all of a sudden, it's all red. The lighting is red in there because the curtains are red, but it's the sunlight coming through, and it looked amazing.
It's a gorgeous. Everything about this movie is perfect. I think that there's just things in it that don't need to be in it, because it takes itself.
And the drinking of the bathwater is a little bit over the top.
Yeah,
let's be real.
Like him watching him masturbate or whatever, maybe even keep in the grave fucking. I don't really understand.
I think
that
you can keep in the grave fucking. Well, look, the thing about that scene is that it did a good job of taking its time.
Yeah.
It let it breathe, which is the only way it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if it just goes into just like it starts and he's suddenly is taking his pants off and starts fucking the grave, then it's like, okay, what are we doing here? But it takes its time. It walks up to it. You see him take his fucking time. And then you're going, wait, is he about to fuck that grave? I think he's about to fuck that grave. He's fucking that grave.
I think it has some meaning.
I think you can keep that scene.
I think it has some meaning in the fact that like he's thinking that he's done it, that he's part of the family. And then they don't let him go, toss the stone. Because he's not part of the family.
Yeah.
So then he goes back to like make himself part of the family by fucking the grave.
No, but see, I don't think that is the motivation. To fuck the grave. Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
You know, like it's...
Yeah.
I thought you were saying that...
So his motivations... This is the most fascinating thing about the movie to me is Oliver's motivations. And which is kind of what it's all about, because it is so obscured for the first like hour and a half of the movie. You don't really start getting a look into the truth behind it until near the end, right? So you're sitting there wondering, okay, like why did he even want to get close to his family in the first place? Is it because he was in love with Felix so much, or did he happen to know that Felix's family was rich and then, you know, convinced himself he was in love with him just so that he could get? I mean, we find out that he faked his dad's death just to get back into his good graces.
He didn't fake it. He just lied.
Yeah, he just totally lied about it and, you know, and lied about his mom being a drug addict just so that he could, you know, get him to take him in. But then he gets to the point where he kills Felix. And I thought that was going to be it. And it was like going to just end tragically like that. And that was going to be it. But then it turns out, wait a second. Now he's got the mom wrapped around his finger and she doesn't want him to go. So he's like, all right, I'm in like Flynn, baby. And so he's not feeling bad at all about that.
And I feel like there should have been a little more, a few more slight hints at what was going on, the way that like you know, he talked about the art that the dad was interested in by collecting things, and then he didn't know enough. So then you see the scene of him like reading up on the art, right? There should have been some other things of like him finding.
During that little montage, did you notice that the song was the song playing was also a great choice because it was of the time. I mean, it was a couple of years after, but still it was of the same time period. MGMT's Time to Pretend was playing during that whole montage of him assimilating, you know, and learning, quote unquote,
use of a needle drop.
So that was really well done. I just wanted to say that, but continue.
Yeah, I think that like if you do a little more of that, and then you don't have to go as far in the like this is how I did it like thing, which the monologue wasn't even that.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, like the pulling the plug and pulling the
the monologue
out of the mom
that he was given to the mom, which you find out
so
is to the
good.
Mom,
yeah,
very good. But you're right; it didn't even have to do with him revealing to her.
No,
or anything.
And like I don't want to see that. If anything, it should have been less. Like we definitely didn't need to cut back to the fact that he had a wallet full of cash when he didn't have the money. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah,
you know, like it was too much. There is no time.
I mean, they even showed him. Typing just random gobbledygook in the cafe, and it's like you definitely didn't need that one.
Definitely
like,
needed that,
because at that point you knew what was going on.
Yeah, it was like, okay, how dumb do you think we are if we're going to enjoy?
So that is what it is. That's the root of the problem.
It
cheapens it because it does make it feel like you think that we are dumb.
You're talking down to your audience when you're trying to pretend that the audience that you're making this for is super smart and artistic.
Right.
You know,
That's why I say salt burn more like salt grass. Am I right, baby? Let's go.
But I do think that this movie is phenomenal. I am confused.
I think it's great too. I think it's shot really well. I think it's directed beautifully.
Barbie should have never been nominated for fucking best picture in this show.
I don't think that shot of the sister in the bathtub after.
See, again, another thing would have been just like
no, when, if when she wanted to take it bathroom, to the next level, she should have got a shot of him drinking that bath water.
If we had seen a shot when he comes in, just an insert shot of like the accoutrement of the like the bathroom cabinet, you know, or you know the counter or whatever, and there was a razor.
Yeah,
and then when he left, we just half see that same shot and there's no razor.
Yeah.
We wouldn't need to see him having put the razor on the bathtub. Like we would have known at that point, like we wouldn't have known it then, but once she killed herself, you're like, wait, you know, especially on a second watch.
Right. Right.
Like this removes.
Yeah. We didn't need the shot of him putting the razor blade down. That was,
it was too much.
But speaking of, you know, shocking scenes, there was another one where he goes down on the sister with her period.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you got to pussy the cooch.
Again, for shock value, but that is not, I don't have as much of a problem with that because it was also purposeful. It didn't matter. He was going to
do it all the time. So
he was going to do that because he knew that the guy was watching at that time.
Right.
You know, and he wanted that guy to see him so that he could be like, you're fucking crazy.
Right. Yeah. So
you know, start to gaslight him. And then he goes in and fucks that guy.
Right. Well,
so that he could,
or wax him off. Right.
No, I think he was putting his penis in his butt.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was fucking him
up his own butt.
Yeah.
People do that.
Yeah.
You don't know shit. Cause you never been.
It's 2006, Bryce.
Yes.
People are fluid.
2006. Yeah. Yeah, no, there was that whole scene, you know, him talking to Farley, and Farley, fuck, marry, kill, and then he's like, well, why don't you could just fuck me, because he's from Liverpool, you know.
Yeah. I've got a hole in my pocket.
I did Ringo Starr on stage last night, by the way. It got into
you
that.
You put his penis in your butt?
I did Ringo Starr on stage last night. It's, yeah, that's what we did. Anyway, I guess he was. I thought he was just jerking him off.
No, I don't think so.
I didn't realize he was putting his wiener up his own butt.
Yeah, that's why he was like riding him.
Oh man,
we get on very well.
Yeah,
that's a Ringo drop.
It's a pretty graphic film.
Yeah, don't let your kids watch it.
No, don't watch it with your
definitely
parents.
Wouldn't let your yeah or
it's
watch
gonna
it.
Be a little awkward.
Yeah, yeah, but shot beautifully and
oh yeah, no, it's,
you know what I just you feel know like what you know what Chase, this may be a movie gap first. This is the rise of the superpowers. What does he call it? The when the superpowers come together. Anyway, Macho Man.
Yeah.
Anyway, this may be a movie gap first here because I think I agree with your notes.
Good.
I really don't have any argument against what you're saying here. I think I actually do agree with it.
And it, but it's
because that all being said, it's a great movie.
Yeah, there's. I wouldn't change anything that they did. I would just take certain things out.
Right.
You know, it's not an edit.
And you know what you had said? I think you even said on a previous episode that I needed to watch this movie simply for the last scene. So now, what was it about the last scene that you wanted that you like wanted me to see so much? I don't get it.
Oh, it's because I said you were gonna do a salt burn or something.
And oh,
then,
maybe.
And then you said something about it. It'll be like sandy or I can't remember.
Oh no, yeah, and I did like
I hate sand or.
Oh yeah. I did those drops.
Yeah, it was something, but it was just like the idea of you like dancing around naked and it like being rough and coarse or something.
Oh yeah, that's right. Oh yeah, there was some joke that fit perfectly like that. Yeah.
Go back after watching Saltburn and listen to whatever episode that was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, look, I can't find my fucking I'm getting distracted because I can't find where my fucking drops are today. You know, I got fucking
what the hell?
Oh, there it is.
Got a terrific penis.
Boom. All that for that, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
So anyway, okay, but it was a really cool last shot, a very cool ending of him putting the stones over that little thing of all four of them whatever.
Which means he went back down into the water
to grab them all. Yeah. Oh,
just because he's like,
and then that
like,
made it real sick.
Yeah, it's like, this is mine and fuck you all.
Oh man, that
and
made
like,
it
I love how like
so sick.
All of the fucking staff knew.
Yeah, that was the one thing where I felt like there could have been a little more
resolution
because they don't really explain why Duncan was so weird.
Well,
he just kind of was weird, but then it does make sense though because they were the ones that could see right through him.
Yeah, and if you go back and watch it, I believe like at first you think it's that Duncan is just like up his own ass being like,
yeah,
this is like you're not the kind of person that needs to be here.
Yeah.
But it's also like he's protecting the family and all of the, you know, staff knows and they all talk and they see everything. You know, the workers do it. And once he gets control of everything, he immediately fucking fires them all and just dances around naked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's a great last shot there. That's a great, of him, of that last stone.
Yeah.
Of the mom, and then he's like smoking the cigarette and blowing it in her face and stuff. Like,
yeah, just
oh,
like
dude, so fucked up.
So he goes evil. Yeah.
So and it ends up being really cool too because the whole time you're thinking Farley's a dick, but really Farley was a good guy.
Well, no, let's be honest, Farley was a dick.
No, but he was a good guy because he could see right through. Yeah, but Oliver, that's also because Oliver was not also a good guy.
He's also like,
I mean, sure, he was a dick, but Oliver, he wasn't Oliver.
No, I mean, they were all dicks. It's like I'm not sorry for the people of Saltburn,
dude. How bad Oliver was that it did make me feel sorry for Felix and the sisters of, and you shouldn't feel sorry for aristocrats like that, you know, but you do because he's that fucked up.
Yeah, but you know, it's better that he.
All right, you know what? Alliance is off. Okay, I thought that I would agree with you across the board today, but it's just not happening.
Even my wife is like, I'm glad he got it.
Say what?
She's like, I'm glad he killed them all and took the thing. This is the hilarious. Best movie ever. But she just loves Kogan. Funny.
Yeah, so. Yeah, he's great, man. He really is great. So it's and you know he knocks it out of the park again. Yeah, good for him. And I don't know. Should he have been nominated for best actor?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a matter of time. He'll get there.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about that.
He's got the heat now. So
yeah, I think he's that this there. Was a little. This was already a stacked year.
Yeah, true.
You know, I mean, not with.
And fucking, yeah, Saltburn was like just kind of an indie film that came out of nowhere.
If you're going to fucking nominate Ryan Gosling for Barbie, yeah, take that out, put this in.
But he got supporting actor. That was supporting.
Was
wasn't
it supporting?
It? I think so.
Oh, yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, it wasn't best actor.
But
that still was not a good nomination at all. Like, what the fuck? He played himself.
And I'll tell you what, you could fuck Saltburn off. I'm telling you, watch Iron Claw and you're gonna be like, how did this get nothing? Fucking yeah. nothing.
Not even a Golden Globe.
Nothing.
Yeah.
But it's also because it came out in like late December.
Yeah.
And you know, by then things have just, like, that used to be the time to come out with these big movies. In fact, Saltburn actually came out in late December.
Yeah, it was a
last minute indie film.
Was it A24?
Screeners Saltburn? And stuff. No. I could check, but I know that Iron Claw was A24.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I joined the AAA24 membership club, which I don't know why.
AAA24?
Yeah, it's like a membership club. I don't really know why we did it. It was like $50 for a year, and you get like, sometimes you'll get like free screener, or not screeners, but like free tickets to a couple of movies.
That's not
but
bad.
You get this like quarterly magazine, and the first one was, and the reason that we did it,
uh-huh.
my wife and I, is because it was all about Iron Claw. And it's like fucking like it's an old school, like early.
You like that movie that much that you're signing up for stuff so you can get extra material on it and stuff.
And it came
you
with
have the internet in your hand and you need the pamphlet
it's
about
like,
it.
It's cool. It's like
hey, sure, man.
I collect lobby cards now. Come on. Okay.
Listen, it better be that good. That's all I'm gonna say.
It's fucking it better awesome. Be that good. It's fucking awesome.
All right. Well, what do you
I will say?
Say
that the person they got to play Ric Flair was a disappointment, but
oh, really? Who was that?
I mean, he just isn't a good Ric Flair.
Oh, okay.
Like, Ric Flair is so Ric Flair.
And yeah, even there's really only one
I forget the
Nature
one who
Boy
played
Ric
it
Flair.
In, the guy who played it in that terrible Young Rock show was, like, great. Although, if you watch Young Rock, watch it for the people who play the old-time wrestlers. Uh-huh. They're fucking awesome.
Really?
Yeah. the guy... not Jonah Ray, it's something else Ray. He's a comedian and he plays Vince McMahon and God, I mean, there's so many people. Like, the guy that plays Andre the Giant is phenomenal.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's really, all the old wrestler stuff is great. The rest of the show is absolute garbage.
Sure.
And that's why I got canceled. But that was the one thing about the Iron Claw that I didn't love, but it's a very small part of it, so it doesn't really matter that much.
Okay.
And he got the attitude. I mean, it's just like he watching it. Well, we'll talk about it.
When okay.
We're still talking about.
Yeah, let's get into Saltburn. Segments here.
Yeah.
Let's get into our segments.
Look at the production company on this one. But yeah, go ahead and pull up. What's the first segment? Rating.
Okay. Out of 10,
this is a full-on Warner Brothers.
Saltburn?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. So not indie at all?
No.
Okay. Well, damn, it didn't really get any, like, fucking
coverage.
Or
it might have been released under one of their...
advertisement.
Like, it might have been released under one of their, like, indie...
Okay.
Like, undertitle ones, but
sure,
it's a Warner Brothers.
Okay. All right, so out of 10, what do you call those? Reveal shots. What do you call those?
Flashback reveals?
Out of 10 Fincher reveals.
Okay.
I give it, I give it a solid 8 Fincher reveal shots.
All right.
Fincher-esque reveal shots. That's what I'm calling them. I give it a solid 8 Fincher-esque real reveal shots. What about you?
Well,
I'm gonna get your rating too. I want to see what your rating is.
Out of 10 suicidal girls in a bloody bathtub.
Okay.
Out of 10
penises.
I was gonna say flapping penis dances.
But just penises.
Just purple penises. His penis is very purple.
Was it purple?
That? It's very purple.
I thought maybe there was just a shadow thing.
I think it was purple.
I didn't.
I was like, somebody needs to give that penis some air.
You know, I didn't give it a good look, but maybe I should go back and do that.
I mean, there's plenty of time.
Yeah. It's out there.
But yeah, out of 10, flapping penises. Flapping purple penises. Popping purple penises. As soon as it was over, I was like, man, this might be a 10.
Okay.
And then within 3 days, I was down to like
a nine and a half.
Yeah, I'm a 9, but 9.5.
Scrubs.
Yeah. No, I think I agree with you. I think it's an 8.
It's a solid 8, right?
It sits at an 8. I think it could have been a 10.
I agree.
They bit off more than they could chew.
Hey, this is a movie gap first, man. A solid, right down the line agree. How about that?
Yeah. All right. What's some numbers?
Yeah.
All right. So, let's see if I got an estimated budget over here. I don't have one there, and I don't think Box Office Mojo even does the budget anymore. They used to. No, they don't. All right. So the budget has not been estimated, but it I do have the opening weekend. Oh, hold on. That one is different. So I have I don't know exactly when it went wide, but we'll just go with because its opening weekend was like November 22nd, but that was like 2 screens.
Right. Yeah. So we're going to go with
like the next expansion, which was only 267 screens. So I think that might have been its highest. Okay. All right. And that was a Christmas weekend.
Okay.
So, you know, let's all go see
a movie this Christmas. Oh, yeah. Christmas. That's a good Christmas movie.
Well, we could go see Wonka or Poor Things or
Saltburn. What? Seriously?
Yeah. Like these are the things that are out, you know?
Wow. Okay. I'm going to guess that it made like $1 million.
All right. It did not. On 267 screens, it made $165,000. Yeah.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
Now, on its November 19th, when it was like a few screens, it did make $322,000.
Oh, wow.
All right. So, what do you think its domestic gross was?
At the end of the day, I'm thinking it made $1 million.
No, 11.
Oh, 11 shit. Million. Okay. Fuck. Yeah. All
right. And worldwide.
I'm way off today. Worldwide? Well, I know this one was big in China. It had to have been. I'm going to give...
That's kind of very Trump. It was big in China. It had to have been.
That's funny. It had to have been. No, but anyway, I'm going to give it... I'm going to say that it made... you said 11 million domestic. I'm going to say it made 30 million worldwide.
21. So,
okay.
I think this is a great movie.
I liked it too.
Yeah. Let's see here. Number one is a superhero movie and probably the last DC one to come out.
Uh huh.
As far as MCU or DCEU is concerned.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, they got like another Joker coming out, another Batman, but like the ones that are that, you know, they're trying to copy the Marvel thing, this is probably the last one.
Yeah.
And they just kind of dumped it.
Yeah.
It was a sequel.
The Flash.
No.
What?
Flash was not a sequel.
Oh,
it's
canon. Oh, Aquaman?
Yeah, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Yeah.
Number two is a prequel.
Uh-huh.
To a beloved classic and a not so beloved remake of that classic.
I know what this is for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, you say it like that.
So Aquaman pulled in 27, uh-huh. 27 million. That was his first week out. This is the second week for this film, and it dropped 53%. Okay. It's got a total of 75, and it made 18.
It's Wonka.
There you go.
Yeah, Wonka, of course.
Which it ended up doing fucking gangbusters. I still have not.
That's
seen
what I've
it.
Heard.
Yeah,
and I've heard it was. Some people say it wasn't bad. I call the people.
I'm gonna have to. Yeah, say
I'm gonna have to not trust that opinion and just move ahead.
I'm gonna move ahead and also skip Dune 2.
Yeah.
All right. So number three, Migration. What was Migration? Oh, I think that was animated.
Oh,
it was like an animated.
Is that
movie
what the name of the movie
birds.
Is?
Yeah, Migration. Oh, that's why I was like, shit. I don't even know what that one is.
No,
I don't know this one. Anyone but you? I don't know that one.
Anyone but me? What?
right. Anyway. Salar. Don't know that one. Now opening week.
Uh huh.
2,774 screens. Still only pulls in $4,868. My wife and I were some of that money. We've been talking a lot about it.
That you saw in theaters?
Yeah.
And you've been talking a lot about it?
Today on the podcast.
Saltburn. No, men stuff. No,
what is the one other fucking thing that we've talked a lot about today? Me specifically.
Fuck. Wrestling? I don't know.
Yes, the Iron Claw.
Oh, shit.
God. God.
This is the best episode.
You know, anybody.
This is the best episode we've ever done.
Everybody listening was just like, oh, Iron Claw. And then when you don't know it, they're like, are you fucking kidding? Is he doing a bit? No, he's not doing a bit.
No, dude, no bits in season two, man. We've established that. The True Gappers know. The True Gappers know.
Yeah, so Saltburn is all the way down at 20, by the way. I mean, you've got Hunger Games prequel, Boy and the Heron, Dunkey, which I assume is a Bollywood film, Yash Raj Films, yeah, sounds like
wow.
It. Godzilla Minus One, which I have not seen, but I've heard is amazing.
It won the Oscar for special effects.
I know, but everybody says it's an amazing
That's
film.
That's also so what I've heard. I definitely have
to see that. Poor Things, didn't really care for it. Trolls, Band Together, Wish, Napoleon, Renaissance, that's the Beyonce thing.
Napoleon was such a letdown.
American Fiction, Animal, The Shift, The Holdovers, and then Saltburns.
Yeah.
So.
Damn.
Yep.
Well, that's a nice little window into 6 months ago.
Yep. How about that?
How about that? We are obviously not going to do a reboot recast, right?
It's like brand new.
Literally just came out. But you know what we did forget to do? Everyone's new favorite segment. We can go out on this. Okay? Oh, yeah.
This is a good one to go out on.
Everyone's new favorite segment. And you can actually help me out with this one, Chase, because I haven't really thought of one. But it is, of course... Hey, everyone. It's time for The Movie Gap Presents What's Its Poor Name?
What the hell?
So, yeah, Chase, there's a few things we could go with. Salt sperm, you know, that's kind of there.
Yeah, I mean,
salt porn.
The easiest one is just Cockburn.
Cockburn, sure.
Yeah.
I feel like we said something earlier that, salt grass. It thinks so. Anyway, this has been The Movie Gap Presents What's Its Porn Name? Grab a stick of butter and some M&Ms. Have a good time. Okay. All right, let's go. I don't know why stick of butter and M&Ms.
Fucking bullshit.
Yeah, I don't. Don't ask me.
Unprofessional bullshit.
All right. Well, I don't know. That's about it, right?
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of should have played
the penis.
The penis. Haley Joel Osment now. Nom in space.
Thanks for listening to The Movie Gap on the Cross the Streams Media Network.